Good morning. This is Right Here, Right Now, brought to you by Right Choice Services. I'm your host, Tim Morrison, and on Right Here, Right Now, we interview business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals about their work and the book they have written, are in the process of writing, or intend to write someday. My co-host for the program is Stone Payton. He's a vital cog at Business Radio X with his own show, High Velocity Radio. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. Thanks for letting me play this morning. I am so jazzed about this week. You know, we're doing that thing Thursday night. You going to come out to that, the Global Connect thing?
Well, I was going to ask you about that. You had a major outing last week with Business Radio X at the remote for the Entrepreneur Advisors Symposium, and now you're going on the road again Thursday night.
Hey, man, we're becoming rock stars. We got the little cases with all the equipment, and all we need is a couple hot chicks with clipboards, and we'll be set.
Well, you could take all the ladies in the studio with you, man.
There you go.
You'd be all set.
I got my remote team right here.
Yes, we do. Well, you know, I'm going to be kind of done here shortly because I'm going to turn to our permanent guest host, Vanessa Lowry. She's responsible for today's guests and our show theme. Good morning, Vanessa.
Good morning, Tim. It's great to be here with you today. And I hear that you had a birthday yesterday.
I aged gently yesterday. I did. My kids were good to me.
Well, you look great. So.
Thank you.
So, happy birthday.
Thank you.
And I'm excited about giving you a little break today, birthday
it's always
break.
Fun. Thank you.
This will be fun. And Stone, I got to sit in with Dr. Tim a couple weeks ago as his sidekick because you were out taking your daughter to college orientation.
Hey, that is a big life development. And that is such a gorgeous campus. And I didn't appreciate it when I went to school. You know, I shot pool, I played ping pong. But now, I really think if I went to college now, I would get a lot out of it.
You would do it right.
Oh, huh? Man. And there's a pub or two in that town, too.
Well, it's good to have the social aspect of college.
Yeah.
They say that's as important as the rest of it as well. So I'm excited about today's show. We've got three authors who've all published their book in collaboration with other co-authors. They each approach their collaborative book a little differently. So I'm excited to talk to them and learn a little bit more about their experiences. In the studio with us this morning, we have Barbara Giamanco and we have Bonnie Daneker. We also have Rob Duncan calling in from New York. Each of these authors is going to share the pluses and what to look out for when you think about doing a collaborative book. So, Tim, you usually start with the ladies' first rule.
Yeah, I do, but let me guess, today the guys get to go first,
today
right?
The guys get to go first.
Okay.
We're doing a little improvising, a little All improv, right. And we're going to start with Rob because he has to head out to another commitment before we finish with the show. So just to introduce Rob, we've got speaker, author, actor, thought leader, manager, and college instructor Rob Duncan has done it all. He just completed a doctorate in business leadership in the area of social networking and collaborative innovation. Rob is the author of the books Haul Away, Team Building Lessons from a Voyage Around Cape Horn, and he also authored Competitive Intelligent, Fast, Cheap, and Ethical, which was selected as one of the best business books of 2008. I actually had the pleasure of co-authoring Improv to Improve Your Business, and getting that improv in there, Improv to Improve Your Business using the principles of improvisation to foster communication, creativity, and innovation, along with Rob and seven other business professionals. And our book launched in January of this year in 2011. So, Rob, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Vanessa, and to the other guests. It's great to be here. It's great to be talking with you again.
Oh, that's wonderful. I know that you've authored several books. You authored two books on your own before you embarked on the collaborative book with myself and the other co-authors. How was the process different between solo authoring and publishing collaboratively?
Well, I'll tell you, publishing collaboratively is a lot easier and a lot faster. That's really what jumps out at me. The first book that I wrote was about a voyage I took on a tall sailing ship around Cape Horn, and for me that was very much a labor of love. And it was a book that, I guess in the purest sense, didn't need to be written. No one was waiting for it. No one was asking for it. And, you know, what I found that happens in that situation is you're always willing to put it aside. And so it probably took me the better part of 2 years to get that manuscript written. And I had to basically just sequester myself for 3 weeks at a time to really hit it hard to get it to get the manuscript ready to the point where it was ready to be published. And so in that sense, I mean, it was a lonely book to write in a way, immensely satisfying, but a lot of work, and it kept getting put down by other priorities. And that was one of the things that I observed. So the second book I wrote, which was on competitive intelligence, again, there was probably a bit more of a market need for that book. And I wanted to just, I'd worked with this body of knowledge for some time in my college teaching, and I wanted to just put it down and put it out there for people. And both of those first books got adopted as textbooks, interestingly enough. The first one particularly a surprise, because it wasn't really about business as such. So the second time was a little bit different again, because I did work with a professional writer. And so it was me and the other writer, and I was able to basically more or less just give the notes that I had over to her, and also be interviewed by her and do sort of thought dumps, which was, you know, a lot easier way to get the material collected. And then I was involved in editing and collating it, and making sure the chapters were in the right places, and that the book had a good flow to it. But that was way easier than the first book.
And how long did that book take? I know you said the first one was about a two-year process.
Yeah, the second one was probably about a year from when I got serious about it. So again, it took a little bit of time. And then there's the third one that we worked on together, which for me was just, it was a terrific process.
And you were actually very busy at that time. You were working on your doctorate and finishing that up and getting ready to go do your I can't remember what you call it, but you were having to defend it. You were defending your
dissertation.
Yeah. Your dissertation, yeah.
Yeah, it's exactly right. And it was amazing to me that we could get such a good book done in that situation. Because as you say, I was in the middle of doing research. I remember when you interviewed me for the chapter. And then when I was doing edits with you, I was actually traveling in Southern Africa and Europe and all that kind of thing. And it was incredible to be able to do it electronically and still get the product out. I think it was about, wasn't it about 2 months?
Well, altogether it was about 4 months, because I think mm-hmm. we really got started in September, and then we were out by the end of December. So yeah, it was a pretty quick process. So
yeah,
that's awesome.
That was great. So yeah, it was awesome. Yeah, absolutely.
And so it's kind of different from having to be responsible for the whole thing versus just being responsible for one section or one chapter or one part of the book.
Yeah, that's the big difference. And for me, I feel best if I can get some kind of publication out every 3 years, because that just seems to be the natural time frame that I'm on. And so I guess that means the next one's due in 2014.
That's right.
if not earlier. But I like that, you know, to have a new set of thoughts out there in some format, you know, every 3 years at the latest. And, you know, this really came as a huge boon to me when you proposed this book idea, because I didn't really have one on the go at the time. And it let me contribute to a book that I think is really quite cool. And to be able to do that with a minimum of time commitment. So, and the other thing I love about the collaborative approach we took was the sharing of all the ideas, because there's so many different interesting perspectives that we were all able to put forward within the overall context of the 10 commandments of improv, which I think was such a good framework to work with.
Well, and I do think that was, I thought that too. I thought it was really interesting that so many people from different businesses and different approaches were able to kind of talk about the same 10 commandments of improv and use that as a common point, but then share their own stories and their own experiences around that.
Oh, for sure.
So, Rob, what advice would you give to someone who wants to enter into a collaborative project like publishing a book?
Well, I guess some of the advice I would give would be work with a professional who's done it before, who knows how to stage manage these kind of productions and pull the right people together and put a framework together and to know how to drive the book through the editing process. And, you know, someone who can move quickly. Like, I think that is huge, because some other collaborative efforts I've seen in business where, you know, you have a committee that's interested in something, you can lose traction. You know, you can spend a lot of time doing a lot of blue sky thinking, and you know, but then other priorities come up, and the project gets set aside for a while, or it becomes a lesser priority. So I think working with someone who's done it before, who can really drive it through to conclusion as fast as you were able to do with our team, is terrific.
Well, I think that's great advice. You know, I want to ask you a question, too. Your doctorate is in business leadership, but it's specifically focused on collaborative innovation and how social networking can factor into that. And I know that when you were doing your doctorate that you did all your research for your dissertation using your social networks. So how do you think that can translate over to how aspiring authors can use their social networks to find collaborators or to gather information? Can you just give us a little bit of your ideas about that?
Sure. I think it's a great opportunity because you see so much of the way people think by the way they contribute on social media. And for me in particular, as you know, LinkedIn was a big favorite of mine.
And that's how we found each other.
That's how we found each other, and that's how the whole book team came together, which was it was from a LinkedIn question that you had asked in the question and answer section, which was along the lines of, have you used improv in business, and how has it helped you be successful? And from that, a bunch of people had weighed in, and a subset of that group ended up forming the team that produced the book. So, and I think Google Plus as well is very intriguing to me now because it seems to be a very interesting hybrid between, you know, a Facebook, very social kind of experience and a Twitter, LinkedIn, very informative kind of experience. And I suspect by people getting involved in whatever their favorite network is, they can identify the kinds of personalities that they'd like to work with and also the kinds of ideas that they would like to form together into a collaborative book.
So I know Google Plus is brand new. Have you actually started doing some things on Google Plus now?
A little bit, yeah. I got an early invite, so I've been on there for a little while, and I really like it. It's very clean. It's very information oriented, and I like how you can organize all your connections into different circles. So you can have a circle that's just, you know, friends and family, or a circle that's just sporting friends, or is just business, or is just people, you know, in business you admire but you don't know. So that's all private behind the scenes, how you organize your own social relationships, and nobody sees that publicly. So if you want to put out a piece of information that would be just interesting to your author friends, well, you can do that easily. So I'm very impressed with Google Plus so far, that's for sure.
Well, it's fascinating, all the things that we can do with social media, and I am so glad that you were able to come and be with us today. I know we're leaving people wanting more because we just have so many interesting guests in the studio, but can you tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you and find out more about what you're doing and also to buy your books?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the best way to get in touch with me is to go to my website, which is at www.robduncan.com. And that's the easiest place to find out about me and about the books. And it also has some jumping off points if people wanted to connect up on LinkedIn or Facebook or what have you. So www.robduncan.com would be the best.
That's great.
Rob, this is Tim, and before we let you go, since you're not in the studio, I've got to tell you what I've been watching in here. Everybody is writing furiously. You obviously are imparting words of wisdom and pearls of great knowledge because our other two guests have filled the first page of their pads with notes. And when we're gone, I'm going to run around and see what all they wrote down. But it's been fascinating listening to you. I'm glad that Vanessa had you with us today.
Rob, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you. I was delighted to be here, and I'm glad that people have got some information from it. That's terrific.
That's excellent. Well, Rob, I know you have to head out, and we're going to head over to our next guest. I'm sorry you're not going to be able to be here for our open mic a little bit later, but everybody will be able to find you at robduncan.com and chat with you more about that. So thanks
That's
again.
Great. Thanks so much.
Okay.
Thanks so much, and enjoy the rest of the show.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. So we're going to continue on with our collaboration theme and expanding on how you can use social media for business with our next guest, who is CEO of Talent Builders, Barbara Giammanco. She's co-author of The New Handshake, Sales Meets Social Media. I know a lot of people have talked about how you can use social media for marketing, and there's not many people that are talking about specifically sales for social media. Barb is an experienced sales and social media consultant, a speaker, and a coach. She works with sales teams to help them leverage social media to explode sales performance.
A sought-after speaker and trainer, Barb speaks frequently on the topics of social media and the new world of social selling. Welcome, Barb.
Thanks for having me, Vanessa. Love to be here.
That's excellent. So I'm just curious, what made you decide to write The New Handshake?
Well, as you know from my background, I spent 20 years in technology before I started my own company almost 10 years ago, and I've always been an early adopter. So I've been on this month, as a matter of fact, July 22nd, 7 years with LinkedIn.
Oh, congratulations.
So I've been using social media for quite a long time, started using it in my own business, and a few years ago, when the conversation started to heat up a little bit, everybody was talking about PR and marketing and communications, and nobody was talking about the impact that social technology and social networking was going to have on the sales process. Having been in sales my entire career, I just said, wow, there's a real opportunity here. The savvy social salesperson is going to recognize this tool will aid them in being much more competitive in terms of getting access to information more quickly than their competition.
So what made you decide to write with a co-author? What was the advantage of writing this book with a co-author?
Well, what's interesting is I'd been thinking about writing a book for quite a while, so it's been on my bucket list for a while. I've written articles and, you know, all that sort of thing. And so I had this, like, brainstorm in December 2009, actually. And I was talking with Joan, who was to become my co-author, and I just said, I just know in my gut there is a book here, and nobody is talking about how sales meets social media, and I want to do it. What do you think? We were doing some business coaching at the time, and she also had a publisher, and she'd already written two books. And she said, hey, when you get the idea flushed out a little bit, let me know. Let's run it by the publisher. And I thought, beautiful. Well, she didn't wait.
Let's get this out there.
She didn't wait. And as we'll talk about, when you think about how you collaborate with people, style and personality and how that matches up in the chemistry really is important. So anyway, she didn't wait. And I get an email from her on December 31st. She said, please don't kill me. I was talking to the editor and I ran the idea by him and they love it.
And they want it.
And they love it. And she goes, oh, by the way, don't really kill me, but I sort of suggested I could write the book with you. So I thought about that briefly, and then I just said, perfect. I love how the universe has provided.
Yeah.
Right? Because what it did for me is Joan had already written two books. She knew the publishing process. She knew the editing process. It really, and she had background in research and communication. It freed me up to really be able to write about sales and technology without having to worry about any of the operational stuff, which through the years I'd looked into self-publishing and, you know, what that all entailed. And so it kind of flowed perfectly.
Well, and I know that the book that Rob and I collaborated on, each co-author kind of had their own separate chapter. But the book that you and Joan did, it really all flows together. So it kind of is one voice throughout the whole book.
Right.
How did you all decide what topics to cover and who was going to write what? And what was the process with that?
Well, you know, Joan's in Athens and I'm here. So the first thing we did, being the tech geek gal that I am, we used a wiki. So we would meet periodically, but we laid out a project schedule from day one because we actually got the signed agreement on March 17th, 2010. And we had to be done by January, am I getting my numbers right? Yes, we had to be done by January 2011. So it actually took us 9 months to write. So it was a very aggressive timeline, and we laid out the dates, the chapters, and who was going to write what. And I mostly focused on sales and technology. Joan added a lot with respect to the history of how the sales process evolved and how communication plays such an important role in sales. And so it worked pretty well.
Well, and I know that you had mentioned to me you all actually were ahead of schedule.
Yes. Well, we were because one thing we said right up front is, you know, we want to have the book mostly done before we went into the holidays. I did not want that hanging over my head between Thanksgiving and Christmas. So we had it largely done and actually turned the book in, I want to say, like the first week of January. So we were early.
So what advice would you give to someone that wants to write and publish in collaboration?
Well, I think, as you know the story, just before getting this opportunity, again, it's funny how the universe works, I actually was talking with four other gals where we were going to collaborate on a book together. And after the third meeting where I felt like there wasn't strong leadership, there didn't seem to be an organized process, I wasn't feeling the chemistry with the person who was going to be responsible for publishing this, I just said, you know, I need to step away from this. It didn't feel right to me. So for me, it's the chemistry.
So that would be one of the big do's of what to look for is
well,
the chemistry.
You know, think about it. You're kind of getting married for like a year.
That's right.
Or a year and a half.
And maybe longer than that if you're promoting the book together.
Right. And so you do need to kind of like the person. You've got to have some good chemistry. And you also have to have an organized process and be really good about communication. I mean, even in the book with Joan, we had a couple of spots where there was not good communication that led to a couple of challenges. You know, we work through that, but one person in the group should never make decisions to make major changes to your process and your approach without talking to the other folks. We did have one situation where that happened, and I was not a happy camper.
Well, and I think you're right. I mean, communication is so key in all parts of business, but particularly when you're doing something like writing a book. And
yeah.
And I'm sure that some of our other people, Tim and Stone, would probably say that that's true as well.
Well, the thought that comes to me, Barbara, is that one of the critical parts of any writing is to have voice.
Definitely.
And you have one voice but two writers. How were you able to do that?
Well, actually, it's funny. We just seem to flow real well together. And then editing. Joan did a very, very good job with the editing. But in general, we just naturally seemed to write in very similar ways. So she did a lot of the editing, cleaned that up. And then, of course, the book publisher brings an editor in, and they do some final tweaks. But I can't give you any great, you know, experience in terms of why it worked. It just happened to work really well for the two of us.
I need you to emphasize something again,
just
for me,
sure,
okay?
Sure.
And that is, after you two wrote and Joan edited, the publisher edited.
Yes, and it's very important. And in fact, you know, if I think about the pros and cons of self-publishing versus being published by, you know, a publisher, they bring those resources to bear. Even with self-publishing, I think far too many people forget to invest in somebody like yourself, Tim, who does the editing, because the editing is really important. So while we were very co-joined, and it's pretty hard, and even people who know us, you can't really tell the difference. I mean, the book flows very, very well. But between our first pass at editing and then professional editors weighing in, that made a big difference.
Yeah, and I appreciate that because, as you intimate, when I work with people, oftentimes they're just amazed that editing? I wrote the book. Well, yeah, but we need to, even real big-name writers always get edited. But I glanced through this while you've been talking, and there I can't find a seam in there, and that's sweet. That's
yeah,
wonderful.
It flows really well. Well, the other thing, too, I think, Tim, you were talking about a situation just prior to coming on the air. I think people need to let go of the content so it can become personal. Now, it's a business book, so that's a little easier, and it probably becomes tougher if people are writing about something that's really personal and near and dear to their heart. But I think as authors, you have to be willing to kind of let go and let people help you make it the best book it can be, which is the point. You want a great book to be published.
Oh, absolutely.
You know? And sometimes less words are better. The more focused words, and I think sometimes people get stuck on, oh, we need all these words in there. I know Tim was just telling us a story about that with one of his clients. So it's sometimes a process of, like you said, letting go so that the best words can stay, and it communicates the idea very clearly.
Right. Well, and think about how time-crunched people are, okay? So get to the point. And especially in a business book, get to your point. Tell people what you're going to tell them. Tell them, reinforce it. But, you know, let them really be able to dig in and get there. A whole bunch of flowery words that have no, you know, real relevance to the book, it's going to harm your success, I think, more than anything. Because we get a ton of compliments about how well-written it is, and I'm very proud of that.
That's great.
Yeah.
And I wish we had more time to really talk about, because I know you've got some great stories about using social media to get exposure for the book. So if we have some time, once we get to the end, maybe we can get you to share one of your Twitter stories about that.
Well,
Since she plugged me a little bit, let me plug her. I met Barbara probably 2 years ago now or three when I did one of your mini seminars on how to use LinkedIn and Facebook.
Yeah.
And I was not there with the happiest smile on my face because I thought, what is this? But you captivated me through that whole thing, and it's become a real blessing for me.
Thanks, Tim.
And I've learned how to use LinkedIn and Facebook. And this has got to be good because you're writing about what you know, and it's touched a lot of lives. So, folks, you need to go out and get the book.
So, Barb, how do people get in touch with you and buy your book?
Well, they can visit us on the book website, of course, which is thenewhandshake.com, and you can purchase the book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. It's both in hardcover and Kindle edition. And also, they can visit me at talentbuildersinc.com to learn more about our business services and what we do. And the book actually will tell you a lot about how to use the various tools and how it applies to sales. And then we finished up with the last two chapters. It's a 30-day challenge.
I know. I love that. I love that step-by-step process that you walk people through about how to really help their sales using
social
media.
Yeah, so basically start at ground zero. By the time you get to 30 days, you'd have a pretty solid strategy and an understanding of how to use the tools to further your sales business.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's
so awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks for being here. And if you can hang out with us, we're going to open the mics.
Oh, I'm not leaving. I want to hear what Bonnie's got to say.
Okay.
I can't wait.
Well, and our final guest today, certainly not least, but our final guest today is Bonnie Daneker, who's CEO of Right Advisors, and she's also the author of the Compassionate Caregiver series. Her seventh book is Climb, Leading Women in Technology Share Their Journeys to Success, and it was a collaborative effort in conjunction with the organization WIT, which is Women in Technology.
Right.
Bonnie, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. It's a joy to be here.
So how was the creation of Climb different from your other books that you published?
You know, the creation of Climb was all about how we could showcase the wonderful talent, the education, and the expertise that the women in technology have. And so what I was fortunate to do is interview and edit a lot of contributions from these women who were sharing stories overcoming poverty, grief, education challenges, workplace challenges. And what we came up with was a collection of inspirational anecdotes that all ages and both genders can benefit from. So it was a four-month process. We thought it was going to be about 200 pages when we started. It ended up being over 500 pages. And it was a wonderful experience with a lot of different voices and contributions. Now, when I wrote my Compassionate Caregiver series, I did it by myself. I started alone, and I finished with a small publishing company, which I founded, that enabled me to put together a lot of materials for caregivers of cancer patients, including the five other books in the series. But my first book was, as Rob pointed out, very lonely, and other priorities crept in, and it was very difficult to find the time to put the emotion and the energy behind what I wanted to say. In that process of writing my first book, I also got married, became a stepmother of three children, changed jobs, moved, obviously went on my honeymoon, which was the only fun part about all of that. And then, of course, started my publishing company and the website, which had an e-commerce arm to it as well. So there was a lot going on. And like both Rob and Barbara have said, you know, if you have a lot to do, you can get more done. You always ask a busy person when you want to get more done. But all in all, I think the collaborative process with Climb was beneficial in the final product because there is a lot more meat to it, where even though I have my advisory panel for my Compassionate Caregiver series of 30 medical professionals, it was my voice and what I wanted to say. And it was a lot easier to work in collaboration with all those other people to get the Climb book done.
Well, and I think I saw that the book, that Climb was actually had 60 contributors. Is that right?
65. We actually included five men.
Wow.
Which was against the against the original organization of the book. Obviously, it's created with women in technology, for women in technology, by women in technology, but we could not produce the book without giving some tribute to men that had really helped us along the way, both in production of the book and creation of the organization in general. And I want to especially call out Tina Mantelli, who is the president of Technology Association of Georgia, who is featured in the book and was kind enough to interview me on his radio show a couple of weeks ago. So he has done a lot for women in technology and also for me personally.
So did you all give some guidelines to the contributors in for preparing them for doing their chapters and their sections?
Yes, but, you know, it's funny. That's both a pro and a con when you work with a lot of different people, right? What we did was we had a general page layout for them, and we told them a page count and a word count. We told them what kinds of lessons we thought would be interesting to the readers, and we said free flow from there, whether you want to structure this as a letter or as an essay or as a bullet point, a shortened form of another speech that you've done. And we got a combination of all of those things, which really adds to the texture of the book. But some of those contributors obviously did not follow our guidelines. Some are very short, some are very long. But again, the diversity is something that weaves into that beautiful tapestry, and we're glad for the differences.
Well, and I know Rob was talking about the improv book that he and I worked on, that we had 9 co-authors. And
right.
Then Barb's book, she and Joan, so they had 2, and you had 65.
Right.
So what were some of the challenges of working with that many contributors?
Well, there's always something to do, right? And your eyes get really tired. But, we wanted to keep a standardization in the book, and we really wanted it to flow and look professional and be something that we could be proud of. And what happened was we really had to alter some of the contributions that the women wrote themselves, which was a long editing process in some cases. And of course, the total production of the book took only 4 months. So when we took a long time with one individual contribution, it really threw off the plan for the rest of the book. So luckily, there were other contributors that wrote their own and wrote their own beautifully, that demanded very little edits, very little attention. So that kind of made up for the difference with the others that took a longer time. But in general, I'm a co-editor. Sandy Hoffman, who is the president of Women in Technology, is my co-editor, and she took about half of them, and I took about half of them, and then we read every single one in the editing process. So I think 3 weeks of that 4 months was spent in editing.
Right.
But in that process, you were trying to get the common voice again, correct?
Well, yes and no. Again, we wanted to make sure that there were lessons talking about success, but mm-hmm. also we wanted to keep their individual perspectives. And there are some that had language that needed to be explained, and some that had a lot of colloquialisms, especially from the women who grew up in rural towns that talked about some of their environment, which, you know, we in corporate America or in our own businesses sometimes are unaware of those words and those humble beginnings because we don't share that. But, we have women from multiple countries, multiple heritages, multiple industries, and the jargon isn't consistent, and therefore the presentation isn't consistent. So we have a thread that is in technology, we have a thread that is in leadership, and a thread that is in success, but we have many, many more threads that are different and diverse.
So what did you learn through working on CLIME that will help you with future collaborative projects?
I will not work with more than 50 people going forward.
15 or 50.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm still debating. No, yeah. It was a labor of love. I agree. But I think we will limit the number of people that will contribute to another book. If we decide to do a CLIME Higher version, which we've had many discussions about, we will limit that only because we want to showcase more of what the women have done. So it's going to be a quality approach in terms of what these women have done instead of a quantity approach in terms of how many women we can feature. So that would be one thing that we would do. I would also pay more attention to our time frames and build a little bit more cushion in there. I mean, we're all very busy people and we have a lot of other priorities. And I think that if we have a little extra time, without the contributors knowing that they have extra time, yeah. We can really hit
our deadlines.
It makes
everybody a little less crazy.
Oh, it does. It does. I mean, I saw 2 o'clock in the morning too many times those final weeks as we were up editing. And, I did my best on the editing, and so did Sandy, and there's still a couple things that we would change. So, and I think that's true of every book.
Well, and I know that the proceeds from CLIME actually is a benefit to a nonprofit. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Thank you for asking. Yes, we have a division of Women in Technology called the Women in Technology Foundation, and their mission is to further the pursuit, the education, and professions of STEM careers in young girls. And STEM means science, technology, engineering, and math. So it's a very wide spectrum of professions. And what we do is raise money to support programs that push the opportunities towards the girls so that they can further explore their interests. So we sponsor FIRST Robotics. We sponsor math events. Yesterday, we just sponsored a girl who won the NAACP AXO Award for math. And, you know, we really want to help these girls be encouraged. We have mentor programs. We have job shadow programs. And so to create all these programs and to fund all these donations, we obviously have to raise money. So the proceeds from every copy goes to the foundation. And we were able to give a $10,000 check to First Robotics earlier this year. So, yeah, and that supported three teams competing on the national level in the robotics competitions.
So how do people find Climb to be able to buy it and be able to support the WIT Foundation?
Thank you. There are a couple of ways. The first is to go to mywit.org. And that is mywit.org, and that is the Women in Technology website for Atlanta. You can also find it on my website at www.writeadvisors.com. That's writeadvisors.com. And then, of course, both books are available on Amazon.com.
And if people wanted to also find out more about your Compassionate Care series, is that still available? Can they still access that?
Yes. I've sold my publishing company, as I mentioned before, to a wonderful group that I still do some work with. But the original book that I wrote, The Compassionate Caregiver's Guide to Caring for Someone with Cancer, is still on Amazon.com. Unfortunately, I sold the other five books rights to the publishing company that bought out me. But if you want some information on those topics, send me an email and I can certainly help you.
So they can come to writeadvisors.com and get in touch with you.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you, Bonnie. And we're going to open the mics now and see if anybody has some questions or any comments for each other. Tim, did you have any other questions that you thought of as you were going along?
Well, I'm just sitting here taking it all in because I'm about to do a collaborative book with my sons.
Oh, excellent. Fun.
Actually, it's a rewrite of my letters to my sons, A Father's Faith Journey, and my boys are all grown up now. And they
at least you know you've got good chemistry with them.
So far.
Yeah.
So far.
That's awesome.
I actually have that book in my car, Tim. I was going to show someone else later today.
Well, I like that. Well, you know, I talked with Joel last night, and he said, Dad, I'm still interested. I'm a little crunched on time right now. Can we still make this happen? I said, of course. So it's going to happen. When you have a writer that wants to write, man, you wait for that, don't you?
Yeah.
That's a gift right there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I'm curious, because we didn't really ask this question, how publishing a book has impacted your business, how you feel like that's helped you attract clients or helped you move to a different level with business. I would love to hear both of your perspectives on that. Barb, do you want to go first?
Sure. Well, in my case, you know, because I was first, and there's a lot of value in being first. I mean, just over the past year, people have talked more and more about social selling, but I actually have the first book out there. And it's kind of ironic that I wrote a book that's about social media, but it's a hardcover book. I mean, think about that for a minute.
Yeah.
It's about social media, but it's a hardcover book, but people dig it. I mean, it opens doors like you can't believe, and people love getting a signed copy of the book. And so I use it as an opportunity when there's a sales executive I want to get in front of. I use the book as an opportunity to introduce myself, and it has had huge payoffs since it came out.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you told me a story about Twitter and how that your Twitter connections actually helped you get in front of a publication that is featuring your book.
Very much so. So, you know, getting media attention is very important when you get a book out there. And so used a combination of traditional media folks. So I have a media director, and Sid does a great job for me. She focuses mostly on traditional media, radio, television, that sort of thing. We've been on Fox Atlanta and so forth. And then we had a national publishing person who just, I didn't feel really worked social networks very well. So I did, you know, and I had some very specific goals. One was I really wanted to get the book in front of Selling Power magazine. For us in the sales world, that's like Oprah. When Gerhard says, read a book, that's a big deal.
No, she's right.
That's a really big deal. But the thing is, they don't accept unsolicited publications. So through my relationships with other folks, including Paul Castain, who runs a huge LinkedIn group called Sales Playbook, Paul read the book and loved it. He started promoting me to his 20,000 plus members in LinkedIn. People started tweeting about it. And next thing you know, Lisa is sending me an email from Selling Power saying, we'd like to get a copy of the book to review.
That's awesome. Great.
And I'm like, how fast can I get to the UPS store? So I got her the book, and a few weeks later, they interviewed me for an online story. They've kept in touch, and then just last month, they had me as a guest expert with Gerhard and another gentleman talking about how social media fits the overall sales learning process. And here's Gerhard just telling the whole planet to buy my book, and this webinar just went off famously, and it was awesome.
That's awesome.
And
that's
so
awesome.
You used what you preached and wrote and taught.
I know. Imagine that.
Isn't that
it works.
Exciting?
Imagine that.
Well, the other thing that I notice about this, and I know this was in the hands of the publisher, but you commented that it is a hardback book.
Yes.
And what comes to my mind is most substantive books in the business field are hardback.
And they did a beautiful job. Yeah. I never saw what it was going to look like. We got three choices on the front cover. They did a phenomenal job. The other thing you didn't talk about, which I think is important, are testimonials. Mm-hmm. Testimonials that we got held a lot of weight. We had some top players in social media. We had business folks. And we also conducted interviews with a number of top players out there in the field who are referenced throughout the book. So all of that brought a lot of credibility to the table. Remember, this was early.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, I was way ahead of the
That's awesome.
Of the curve. Still am, kind of.
And that's definitely working to your advantage,
yes.
To your benefit.
Well, you know, being first has its pros and cons,
but it's proving to be
a good thing.
That's true. Well, and Bonnie, I would love to hear how your books have helped you with business.
You know, my first one was a labor of love. It was very cathartic. I had taken care of my father and really didn't plan on moving into the publishing business, although my first degree is in journalism and I always had a love of writing. But that totally changed my career. I was a consultant. I was making a lot of money in the tech boom. There was no reason for me to leave, except that all of a sudden I had this new calling, you know, where I was writing materials to help people take care of cancer patients. And these were lessons that I learned taking care of my father and lessons that I learned from other caregivers in the doctor's offices and the lounges and so forth. And really, starting a publishing company and providing all this material, learning about social media, learning about online marketing efforts was really educational for me, and it really rounded out my career for what I'm doing today. What I love about the process of writing a book and the completion of writing a book is that it represents some pinnacle of knowledge, some really grand goal, an objective. It's certainly, you know, something that not everybody does, but you have to be ready for that impact, and you have to be able to call yourself a writer and call yourself a promoter and be able to take on the positives and the negatives of that big change. Because if you let it, it really can change your life. And actually, the production of Climb changed my life too, in the sense that the reason I have a literary consultancy today is that when I interviewed a lot of these women for the book, they expressed to me the need to say more than 1,400 words worth of their life. So they really wanted to tell their own stories, and they really wanted to write a book. They didn't know how, and they were busy. And so I formed a company to help them do that. In fact, help professionals in business, biography, and health and wellness do that. And so I moved from being a consultant and an entrepreneur to an author who had a publishing company to the CEO of a literary consultancy to help other people achieve some of those things that I did in my history. So I would definitely encourage people to write a book if they're interested in changing their career trajectory, if they're interested in honing their professional presence, or if they just wanted to find the methodology behind what they're trying to accomplish.
Well, that's, you know, great. What's happened, Vanessa?
What?
The clock.
I know. Oh, we're no. out of time.
The
it's
clock
amazing.
Has ticked by.
But thank you all so much for being with us today.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having
you.
Us.
Turning
thank
it back over to
us.
Tim now.
Yeah.
Well, we always welcome your comments and suggestions about the content and about our guests. And if those of you who are listening would like to recommend a guest or be a guest yourself on Right Here, Right Now, let us know. Simply send us an email at whwnbusinessradiox@gmail.com. Stone, you've co-hosted, but you've been absolutely quiet today. That had to be painful.
What in the world could I possibly? Yeah, this is fascinating to me. I want to go out in the marketplace and see if I can con somebody into collaborating with me on a book.
There you go. And as always, Vanessa, it's a joy to have you as the guest host, especially when I can sit in.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you were here today.
Well, I did enjoy sitting on the sidelines somewhat, I guess. Thank you to our guest, Rob Duncan, who has left the studio, should we say, Barbara Giamonco and Bonnie Daneker. Rob can be reached at www.robduncan.com. Barb, if you would share your contact information again.
Oh, sure. Thanks. TheNewHandshake.com for more information about the book and services, as well as TalentBuildersInc.com.
And Bonnie?
MyWit.org and WriteAdvisors.com.
Right Here, Right Now is brought to you each week by Right Choice Services. You can learn more about Right Choice Services at www.writechoiceservices.com. And I hope you will join us next week. Tell your friends about the show. In fact, how about sending them an email right now to invite them to listen live or to the downloads? Listen to Right Here, Right Now live every Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time at writehererightnow.businessradiox.com, or download the MP3 version of all of the interviews on the Right Here, Right Now website. I am Tim Morrison. Join us next time when business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals come together to discuss the power of the pen and its impact on their business, right here, right now.